Hours later, Mador stepped back in uncertainty.
I don't understand.
It's true, Mador. At least, I think you're Mador. Provided the Krom was still in Mador's dragon body, and the gods hadn't screwed with them again. Because that was how their luck was running. Ever the rubric of solve one problem and create another. Falcon sent me here to watch over you. I'm the one who goaded Medea into going to Falcon, hoping he'd be able to get to you and help you out of here. I didn't count on his overreaction that would result in her death. Guess I should have.
Orion's breath caught in his throat as he heard that unexpected, sweet, lilting voice that he'd thought was lost to his dreams.
Zin.
He wanted to run to her, to hold her and kiss those lips, but this, right now, was between her and her brothers, so he stayed out of it. Pale and standing on unsteady feet, she had one arm braced against the wall nearest her.
Zin, is it really you?
She gave Falcon a wan smile. Greetings, brother.
His own limbs shaking, he crossed the room to gather her into his arms.
How?
I don't know. One minute I was frozen, and then I was here, wherever this is.
Falcon fisted his hand in her long flame-red hair that parted to show off her pointed ears. Orion couldn't move or breathe as her translucent, vibrant green gaze steered him. She was still one of the most beautiful women he'd ever seen. Her presence staggered him. He fell back and leaned against a stone for support because he didn't trust his legs to hold him, not right now. She pulled back to stare at Mador.
Falcon is your father, Mador. Just as Blaze is your son.
That sucked every bit of the air from the room and had the same impact as a nuclear bomb detonating in their midst. Blaze stumbled back.
What?
Zin nodded.
I was there when you were born. Your mother was furious, thinking your albinism had to do with Max's curse.
What curse?
Falcon winced.
I never told Blaze the truth, Zin. He had no idea about that.
Her jaw went slack. I'm so sorry. I assumed he knew.
Falcon shook his head.
By the time I learned about his birth, he was grown. I didn't have the heart to tell him then. Thanks, sister.
You're always good at ratting me out. Mador sat down.
Blaze
is my son? How?
Zin sighed.
Or Mara. She hid her pregnancy from you and was hoping to parlay Blaze's birth to her advantage.
When I was born deformed, she tried to kill me.
Brogan moved to hold Blaze.
You're not deformed. And I killed her for her actions against you, Blaze, Zin said. You were still wet from cracking open your egg when I took you to be raised by your adoptive father. The only truth you knew was that your father was the leader of the Mandrakes.
He just assumed it was the Mandrake before Mador because only a tiny handful of Fae knew Mador was the first of their breed. Another lie told that was meant only to wound and hurt and divide a family.
Damn those!
Who sought only to make mischief for mischief's sake. They were the root of all evil, not greed or money. Mador growled at Zin.
You should have told me about him.
I was planning to. Once I knew he was safe, but I was trapped here before I had the chance.
With a fierce roar, Mador started for Zin, only to be stopped by some unseen force.
You can't harm her.
Brogan reminded him.
I haven't given you her name.
I hate all of you,
he roared. Falcon glared at him.
How dare you? Feel free to hate me all you want. I deserve it. Blaze, however, has never done anything to deserve your animosity for him. He's your son, one you've treated like hell and mocked over the centuries for no reason whatsoever. You owe him an apology.
Mador gaped at Falcon.
You're
daring to lecture me on parenthood. Seriously?
Yeah, and I'll bust your ass, boy. Don't ever think I can't take you in a fight, I promise you. I've eaten much tougher hides than yours and used their scales for shoes. If you want to act like a child, then I'll treat you like one.
The real Crom made a noise deep inside the dragon's body.
What's going on, Brogan? You about to spew?
She shook her head.
It's the strife between the two of you. It feeds him, makes him...
The Crom dissolved all the bonds that held his dragon's body and stood up.
Stronger,
she finished with a squeak. Blaze took her hand and pulled her behind him.
What's he doing now?
Not sure.
Falcon put his hand out to stop Medea from engaging the beast as she moved in for an attack, because the Crom wasn't the only dragon rising. All of them were, and he wasn't sure what that signified. But with their luck, it wasn't a good thing.
Mador,
Falcon glanced to his son.
You want to return to your real body?
His whip sizzled as he turned a slow circle to survey the number of original dragons who were now a little more than just plain pissed off. And since they had no other target, they were circling the only enemy they found in the room. Them. The whole group. And that included their leader, that they couldn't identify as a dragon since he was in the Crom's body and had no head.
Yeah, I think I do.
Orion couldn't blame him there. Judging by the mood of the newly animated dragons, anything not one of their scaly clan was about to get eaten. Lombre rose up in an effort to block the dragons, but they passed right through his non-corporeal form. Orion rolled his eyes.
Good to be a shadow, huh? Makes me wish I were one.
He lifted his sword and shield and prepared to attack. Just as Falcon renewed that stupid incantation that had gotten them into this mess, a bright light flashed near them. It was intense and searing, so much so that it temporarily blinded them. Until Asheron's demon companion, Simi, jumped out of it. Dressed in her short purple skirt, black and red striped leggings, and a matching corset, she drew up short as she surveyed everyone around her. Her red horns sprouted on top of her head as a tail came out from underneath her short skirt. A set of leathery bat wings sprang out, letting Orion know the not-so-little Karanti goth demon meant business. He laughed. Yeah, they had no idea what they were dealing with.
Hide your children. Hide your wife. Hide your pets.
Orion smiled at her.
Simi, what are you doing here?
She shrugged.
Akhritan told the Simi that you'd be acting all weird and funky lately, and that the Simi should be keeping her eyeball on you, Akri Uri, so... Your heart rate was picked up during my commercial break, and it got my attention. Since I knew you wouldn't be with no heifer, cow-like, red-headed goddess creature doing things that make the Simi go blind, I thought you'd be troubled. So, then I thought Simi... You best be checking on that old ex-daemon to make sure he okay and not about to get ate by something not friendly.
Simi scowled as she put her finger to her cheek to consider her words.
No, that'd be wrong. Be in trouble,
she grinned widely, flashing her fangs.
You in trouble, Akri Uri? Can the Simi eat your troubles? Cause... I don't think these dragonlies be on the Simi no-eat list. Pretty sure Akri won't mind if the Simi eats them up.
She bit her lip with a childish enthusiasm that made Orion smile, especially as she reached into her coffin backpack and pulled out her lobster bib and bottle of barbecue sauce to prepare. The moment she did, the dragons backed away. And that made Mador nervous as hell.
What's going on?
Zin laughed. Oh, hon, no one is dumb enough to tangle with the hungry Karanti. Don't you know? Simi gasped.
No! Say it no so, the Simi's so hungry! It's been all 20 minutes since the Simi ate her last diamond.
She pouted as she turned around, looking for a meal. More dragons shrank away.
Yeah,
Orion blustered at them. That's right.
I've got a Karanti here, and I'm not afraid to unleash her.
Ha!
A dragon sneezed beside him, blowing out fire that came a little too close to Orion. Orion dashed to Simi's side, putting her between them.
Are you fireproof, Sim?
Bombproof, too!
She belched and shot out a stream of fire that caused several dragons to scramble for cover.
See?
Ah, you bunch of hatchlings.
With his hands on his hips, Falcon finished putting Mador back into his body. The moment the Krom was himself again, he picked up his whip and went straight to Brogan. Brogan held her hand up to let them know that it was all right. After a few seconds and a few whispered words in his ear, she nodded.
Peace to you, Krom.
With a curt jerk of his coat, he flashed himself onto the back of his horse and vanished.
What did he say?
Blaze asked.
She smiled warmly. That he never wants to be a dragon again. You can keep your smelly old body.
Orion scowled at Brogan. That's all? An evil light danced in her eyes.
I might have given him the name Morgan.
Medea cleared her throat to remind them of the other dragons who were still glaring at them. Zin yawned.
How long have we slept?
Centuries, Blaze and Falcon said simultaneously. An unhappy murmur ran through the dragon horde.
See me eat them now, since they are grumbly?
Her wings twitched with expectation.
The dragons quieted immediately. Medea laughed.
Nice to know you. Don't just scare daemons, Simi.
Simi pressed her finger to her lips and cocked her head in an adorable expression. She scowled, then smiled at Medea.
The Simi knows you. I've seen you lots and lots. You're the evil princess who lives with the Simi's Akra in Colossus.
She's also my sister.
Simi gasped at Orion's words, then caught herself.
Oh, yeah. I should've... But wait. Your daddy is fake Akri.
She pressed her hands to her eyebrows.
Then Simi is so confused.
Orion laughed. So am I, most days. Sobering, he gently pulled one of her hands down until she opened her eyes to look at him.
Just remember that I was taken out of my mother's womb before I was born and put into the belly of another. So the Appellite who birthed me wasn't really my mother, and Stryker wasn't really my father. Styx is my father, and Bethany is my real mom.
Ah! Like Simi, you're adaptable!
Orion's grin widened.
Yeah.
Wait,
Brandor scowled.
Does she mean adopted?
No, silly.
Arms akimbo, Simi rolled her eyes.
Even though we both were adopted, the Simi meant adaptable, because Akri Ori had to live with people not his people. He's not really a daemon, he a demigod, which is better. Sometimes, anyway.
She tisked as she looked back at Orion.
I'm sorry, Akri Uri. That was why you have sadness, besides Phoebe sadness.
His eyes darkened.
No, Sim. Mostly I just have Phoebe sadness.
She held her barbecue sauce out toward him.
Wanna eat a dragon? Make you feel all better. Give you warm and fuzzies in the belly.
And that succeeded in driving the dragons toward the shadows and Lombre into a fit.
No, no, no. You're not to hide in my domain. Get out, mangy beasts.
Brandor cleared his throat to disguise his laughter.
You know, with all this noise, Morgan is bound to realize what's happened. We might want to think about getting out of here before she sends something or someone to investigate.
Falcon nodded to his sister.
Granted, she should be a little preoccupied with the Krom after her. You still should take them to my island, just to be safe.
She arched a brow at his order.
All of them? You really plan to tolerate us in your personal space?
It'll be the safest place for them.
Zin kissed his cheek.
Love you.
You too.
She scoffed at his response.
I live for the day, Veles, when you can say that word without choking on it.
And with that, she gathered the dragons and left through the portal. Orion followed Zin to Falcon's island home, which was absolutely breathtaking. Open and airy, and yet technically a cavern, it was large and spacious with a stunning ocean view. The enchanted walls were crystal clear, so that he could look out but not be seen by anyone else. The transparency of the walls made them shimmer and sparkle from the daylight that burned the eyes, but not the skin. He could see why Falcon had chosen it. However, that was the last thing Orion had on his mind. Zin? He reached for her and pulled her into a dark alcove, away from the others. Finally, they were alone. And now that they were, he was lost and unsure. Did she even remember him? She hadn't acted like it. Maybe she'd suffered a head wound that had left her with amnesia. What did he say to her after all these years? Siroxen trembled as she looked up into the bluest eyes she'd ever known. She'd forgotten what a huge, overwhelming beast Orion was, which was shocking, really, given that she was used to dragon swains, who were even larger, and yet somehow he made them seem smaller, weaker. There was an innate power to him that the others lacked. And at the same time, he was sexier than anyone she'd ever known, because for all his power and ruthlessness, he would never harm her. He was a protector, unlike anyone she'd ever met. He kept that vicious strength restrained and under control. This close, you could feel the lethal killer inside him, the demon that salivated for blood. Yet he'd made love to her like a poet, and touched her with the tenderest of care. That was the beauty of her daemon. Love and happiness rushed through her and set her heart to pounding. But it wasn't enough to drown out her fear that he'd rebuff her after all this time. She didn't know what to say to him after all this time. She just abandoned him, not out of choice. Still, did it matter? She could only imagine the hurt and pain he must have felt, thinking she just moved on, or worse, that she died. So she did the only thing she could think of to do. Stepping into his arms, she kissed him. Orion growled at the taste of Zin's lips, of her sweet tongue sweeping against his as her arms wrapped around his waist. His body roared to life with a vengeance that was terrifying. In the distance, he heard someone calling her name. She deepened her kiss before she pulled away and nipped his chin. Give me a few minutes? There wasn't enough blood left in his brain to form a coherent thought. Okay. Zin laughed. Orion? She cupped his face and rubbed noses with him. You'll be here when I get back?
I will.
Nothing could make him leave. Okay. With a ragged breath, he leaned back against the wall as she went to help the dragons settle in. Then he glanced down at the sizable lump in his jeans. Damn, that was really obvious and embarrassing. He wasn't about to leave the shadows any time in the near future.
At least you know it still works.
True, it had been so long at this point, he had begun to wonder. And that thought was still on his mind a few minutes later when Zin returned as a faint whisper. Laughing in his ear, she wrapped herself around him and teleported him from his shadows into a bedroom. What are you doing? She left him to lock the door, then returned to stand in front of him. Biting her lip in a way that only further inflamed him, she ran her finger down his chest, raising chill bumps the whole way.
Can you still use your magic to conjure clothes?
Yeah.
An evil grin broke across her face.
Good.
Before he could ask her why she wanted to know, she ripped open his shirt from hem to neck and attacked him as if she were starving and he was the last steak at a banquet. Orion couldn't have been more floored had she set him on fire and used his balls for kindling. She ran her hands across his entire body while she licked and sucked his skin until he thought he'd go blind from it. With her powers, she flipped him and tossed him onto the bed, then dissolved both their clothes. Sucking his breath in, he surrendered himself completely to her fierce caresses. Never had a woman been so forceful with him. He loved it. Zin grazed Orion's throat with her teeth and licked his whiskers, allowing them to prick at her tongue.
I'm so glad you followed me and the others here.
He brushed against her ear as he tongued it and cupped her breast in his hand. His fingers toyed with her nipple in a way that had her wet and aching.
Oh, Zin,
how could I not? I've missed you so. She nipped his chin while she fisted her hands against his muscular back and pressed her bare body into his.
Ah, God, his skin felt so good. She wanted to cry at the peace she experienced by exploring him again. It was truly Katateros.
And it was then that she realized what was missing. How could she have missed it? Shocked and amazed, she pulled back to scowl at his chest.
Ori?
Where's your daemon, Mark? He glanced down to where her hand rested over his heart.
I'm not a daemon anymore. I was fixed.
Not exactly the correct word, but he couldn't think of anything better to use. A long time ago.
You're human?
No, I'm kind of unique.
But you don't feed on souls.
Or blood.
She let out a peculiar half-laugh. You eat food?
I do.
Her eyes turned warm and adoring.
Oh, how I wish I'd been there the first time you ate to see your face.
You didn't miss much, other than a lot of cursing that followed the biting of my tongue. Zin laughed for real then, at the image she had of him trying to figure out how to chew when he'd never had to do so before.
My Orion.
That's me, ever brain damaged.
No, definitely not.
She kissed him, reveling in the miracle that was her daemon.
I could just eat you up.
I'm at your disposal. She shook her head at these words and she nibbled his neck. He let out such a sound of pleasure that it honestly startled her. Are you okay? He sucked his breath in sharply between his teeth. He cupped her head in his hands.
Depends. Is the truth going to be a buzzkill or a turn-on?
What do you mean?
His gaze burned her as he sank his hand into her hair. I haven't been with anyone in a long time, Zin. My heart was broken one time too many. Her gaze fell down to the tattoo on his arm, where he bore the black tears that marked the passing of his loved ones. It was something all daemons did to honor and remember those they'd lost. Dipping her head down, she kissed his mark.
Do you want me to leave?
No! She smiled, then nipped his chin. Orion groaned as she slid her hand down to touch his cock. He felt his powers surge through him. Oh yeah, that was the most incredible pleasure. It had been so long since anyone else had touched him that he'd forgotten what it felt like. Capturing her lips, he pressed her hips closer to his. She gave a low whistle of appreciation as she took him into her hand, then traced a line up his tattoo of his father's shield pattern.
You've changed this, too,
he nodded. I made it look more like my father's.
Striker?
Laughing, he shook his head. You've missed so much. I'm the son of Styx, not Striker. Striker and I are at war, but I don't want to talk about hate.
Not while I'm with you.
And not when she gave him that look right there that seared him to the core of his soul. Zin ran her hungry gaze over his tawny body. Every muscle was a study of sinewy grace and perfection, all man and all hot. His chest was dusted by golden hairs, not too thick, just enough to be manly and appealing. Goodness, how she'd miss touching a man and being close to one like this. Orion had always touched her in a way no one had, and not physically, emotionally. A part of her was still timid to touch him for fear that her dragon powers would kick in and she'd scorch him. But the other part of her was desperate to be held, just for a little while.
You don't like false people, do you?
He narrowed his gaze at her. Are you reading my mind?
No, it's strictly from what you've said. I told you, I've never been able to read your thoughts and I don't know why.
Which was so odd, because she normally could read those of others. Orion had always been different. He gave her a cocky grin.
It doesn't take much to read them right now.
He gave her a scorching once-over. Zin laughed until he dipped his fingers into the part of her that craved him most. Orion stared down at her. A wicked light came into his eyes as he kissed his way down her body. He paused to lave her breasts. Ribbons of heated pleasure burned through her while his fingers continued to tease and play and delve deep inside her. Then, ever so slowly, he continued south until he replaced his hand with his lips. Zin arched her back as her body twitched and ached in response to his masterful touch. Before she could draw another breath, her body shattered as one of the most intense orgasms of her life claimed her. Still, he continued to please her until he wrung another one from her spasming body. She sank her hand in his soft hair, tugging at it as he continued to tease her over and over. Orion growled at how good she tasted. It had been way too long since he'd last had a woman. Hell, he'd had so little interest in them lately that he'd begun to fear he was broken. But there were no inhibitions or hesitation with her, even though he should have them in spades. They really needed to be focused on other things right now, but he didn't give a shit. Let them die and the world end. He didn't care. He needed her more than anything. Unable to stand it anymore, he pulled back from her. He lifted her hips and drove himself deep inside her body. She cried out his name. Smiling, he thrust against her, seeking solace in her warm softness. Zin balled her fist in Urien's soft white hair as she buried her face in his neck to inhale the warm, masculine scent of his skin. There was so much power in him, so much skill in the way he filled her and touched her. It was like he knew every way to wring as much pleasure from every thrust as he could, and to be able to have him again like this, it was incredible. For the first time in centuries, she felt human. "Harder, baby," she purred in his ear, wanting him to love her with everything he had. This was the most incredible moment of her life, and when he finally came, she joined him. Completely spent and sated, she leaned back onto the bed while he was still inside her. Her breathing ragged, she kept her legs wrapped around his waist while he stared into her eyes and toyed with her belly button.
"That was incredible."
He flashed a devilish grin.
"Glad I could oblige."
He ran his hand around her breast, traced the line of her intricate tattoo, then gave it a light squeeze as he brushed her hardened nipple with his thumb. A smile curved his lips as he remembered when she'd had her tattoo done. It was of a black sword wrapped with a pink rose for her strength. At the bottom was a red-headed pixie-like woman, and above her, a half-dragon rising up to shield and protect her. The dragon matched his shield, and beneath the dragon's wings, she'd placed the words, "I am woman, born of pain. Hear me roar." Done to remind herself that while she was dragonborn and capable of extreme and utter violence, she was also capable of mercy and compassion. But what made him smile were the words that had been added since the last time he'd seen her that went down the back of the sword.
"You took my advice?"
She picked his hand up and lifted it to her lips so that she could nip his fingertips. "Only because I wanted something to remind me of you. And I love the way you see me. Don't agree, mind you, but I love that you think of me that way."
"That I do."
He kissed the words that were there now. "I am invincible." Then he shivered as her tongue darted between his fingers. He didn't know why, but it brought out a tenderness inside him, something protective and scary. But then she'd always done that. It was like the demon in him wanted to claim her and kill anyone who came near her, anyone who hurt her or even looked at her wrong. It was feral and powerful. And she owned that part of him. She always had. Right now, he felt like his entire body was made of thrumming electricity that needed to ignite and explode. Sex with her had always heightened and strengthened his psychic abilities, but this was different. He'd never felt anything like this before. She nibbled at his knuckle.
"Is that one part about your daemonness still true?"
"Yes," We all have a second penis hidden in our thigh.
She laughed out loud. Where did that come from?
I don't know. You hear all kinds of stupidity coming out of the mouths of dark hunters when you hang out with them. I'm always appalled and offended by about 90% of everything they say.
Zin shook her head.
I mean, can you still go all night and have multiple orgasms?
He pressed himself deeper inside her so that she could tell he was already hard again and ready for more.
Oh, yes, ma'am. The one definite perk for my people.
Which he'd always assumed had been done either as a punishment or a way to ensure that they could procreate in their exceedingly short lifespans. She tightened her thighs around him.
You're telling me you're at the ready?
He kissed her lightly on the lips.
Dearest Lady Dragon, I'm ready to go until neither of us can walk.
She sucked her breath in sharply as he teased her nipple with his tongue.
Ah, he felt so good. I intend to hold you to that.
Then far be it from me to disappoint you.
Zin had just finished her third orgasm when a strange buzzing started.
What is that?
Hold on a second. Orion used his powers to pull a peculiar thing to his hand that illuminated. He held it up to his ear. Hey, little buddy, what you need? That was a strange tone she'd never heard him use before. Well, no, I can't kill your brother. I can give him a stern talking to for taking your Legos. What did your dad say? Zin sat up and frowned as she tried to make sense of his conversation. I see, and Uncle Chris? Crossing her legs, she bit her lip at the perplexed frown on his face. No, no, Eric. Don't kill your brother. You might need bail money one day, and I might not be available for it. And Phoebe could hold that whole Barbie incident from last year against you. Just calm down and breathe. Your brother's life is worth more than a video game, I promise. I know it doesn't seem that way right now, but in an hour, you will move past this. She heard someone yelling on the other end. Yeah, okay. I'll talk soon. Love you. Laughing, he lowered the little rectangle.
Should I ask?
He used his finger to swipe at the box, then held up a painting of a dark-haired boy with a huge, exaggerated smile on his face. My nephew, Eric.
He's adorable.
Some days.
He pulled it back to swipe again. He was about to kill this little guy. He showed a brown-haired boy with similar features who was a few years younger.
Tyre, which of your brothers do they belong to?
All the humor left his face then, and a deep dark sadness swallowed the light in his eyes. The turmoil was so tragic that it made her gut tighten.
Orion?
He flipped to another image, this one of a beautiful girl with reddish hair.
Little Phoebe. She's beautiful.
Orion drew a ragged breath.
I thought you were dead, Zin.
I know. You had no way of knowing what had happened.
And then she saw the guilt in his eyes.
You found someone?
He nodded. Anger shot through her. For the merest instant, she feared Orion had tricked her, but she caught herself before she reacted. Orion wouldn't do that. Granted, she'd been gone a long time. Still, integrity like his didn't vanish. And she had her own guilt to carry. Even if it had been to help her family, she couldn't imagine the pain and sorrow that Orion had experienced for the centuries that they had been apart. She knew that. Plus, he told her that he hadn't been with anyone. Not in a long while.
What happened?
Phoebe died 14 years ago.
A tear slid from the corner of his eye, and he quickly wiped it away. Grateful she hadn't reacted, Zin pulled him against her.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
No, it wasn't. Not the way her Orion loved. She held him close and rubbed his back.
Their mother is her sister.
And you watch over them?
He nodded.
I promised her I would.
What of your brothers? How are they?
Orion drew another ragged breath.
All gone.
What?
She gasped in shock. He nodded.
Atreus
was the last to fall. I lost him in 1962 to a dark hunter. Sympathetic grief brought tears to her eyes as she brushed the hair back from his face. I'm so sorry. He kissed her hand. It's okay, we're daemons, right? Loss is what we're born for. So you've been alone all this time. I still have Davin, he said with a smile, but it quickly faded. We've got to get your brother's egg. That's Davin's only hope for a cure. I need you to talk sense into him, Zen, please.
A cure?
Fury darkened his eyes as a tick started in his jaw. Apollo sent a plague to wipe out the daemons. Whatever it is, Davin has it. I can't lose him.
I won't let you, she kissed him.
Come, let me go smack my brother around. When she started to get up, Orion stopped her. She glanced back with a frown.
Something wrong?
I'm not a daemon anymore. Do you remember what you said?
I remember.
Good. Because I plan to hold you to it. Smiling, Zin watched as he conjured his clothes and then handed her some the likes of which she'd never seen. What is this? Modern clothing. She wrinkled her nose at it.
Looks itchy.
It is itchy. You get used to it. Besides, once we get this squared away, I intend to get you out of it as quickly as possible. She arched a brow at his tone.
There better be a please in that.
He snorted. There will be as much begging in there as you require, I promise. He poked his lip out to prove it. Laughing, she stood up on her tiptoes to draw his lip in between her teeth.
That's better.
Zin swallowed as Orion stepped away and led her from the room. They had much to talk about. A lot had happened to her since the last time she'd seen him. Funny how promises were so easy to give and incredibly hard to keep. Sitting at a small round table at the Café du Monde in New Orleans, DeCostas looked up from his coffee and beignets as a shadow fell over him and blocked his view of the pedestrian mall where he liked to watch the tourists while they shopped and strolled along the busy street. It was even worse than what he'd initially imagined for the interruption. Some poor panhandler begging for spare change or an annoying ass wanting directions. A pouting Girl Scout peddling some overly sweet cookies. Oh no, those nightmares would be far preferable to this pestilent beast who brought with him a sickening sensation that caused DeCostas's jaw to fall slack. Indeed, he wouldn't have been more shocked or stunned to find Apollome herself standing there, glaring hatred at him. He choked down his bite of the sugary confection and took a drink of coffee to clear his throat.
Apollo.
To what do I owe this? He searched for an appropriate word. Honor definitely didn't fit. Horror, not really. Inconvenience would be the most apropos. But since DeCostas was the Atlantean god of justice, moderation, and order, he had a bit more tact than to say that out loud, as it would cause conflict and strife. So he left it open to the Greek god's interpretation while he wiped his mouth with a paper napkin, then gestured at the small metal chair across from him. Apollo accepted the invitation without hesitation. What a peculiar place to find you. I actually thought Clotho was lying when she told me where you were living these days. Little wonder, then, given the fact that the vast majority of his pantheon was currently frozen as statues beneath Acheron's palace in Katateras. But since DeCostas had had the good sense not to cross Apollome's wrath or Styx's sword arm, he was one of the extreme few who'd been left free to roam the earth after they'd broken buck wild on them all a few years ago.
And how are my dear half-Greek nieces?
Worthless as always.
DeCostas didn't comment on that, mostly because he agreed about the three fates. With their great stupidity and rash actions, they had accidentally damned the entire Atlantean race and pantheon in the blink of an eye. Jealous words, spoken in a moment of fear against Acheron, that had played out with devastating consequences for all the rest of them, especially the triplet goddesses. He cleared his throat and pinned Apollo with a cool stare.
You still haven't told me why you're here.
After all, they weren't friends, or even friendly. In fact, they hated each other with a fiery zeal. Their pantheons had been mortal enemies back in the day, and the only thing the two of them had in common was their blonde hair, literally. And even it wasn't the same shade. Apollo's was far more golden, and his tended toward brown.
I want information.
DeCostas cocked his brow. The fates couldn't give you what you wanted? Apollo snorted.
As I said, they're basically worthless. What I need to know predates their births by a number of centuries, and has to do with Apollomy and Kasseri.
Interesting. A waitress came up to ask Apollo for an order. He sneered at her.
Do I look like I eat or drink shit? Be gone from me, mortal scum!
DeCostas sighed at his angry words. So much for Apollo being a god of temperance.
That was unnecessary. So is wasting my time.
Yet Apollo had no problem intruding on his zen and wasting his. Typical. But then Apollo had always been a selfish prick that way. All that mattered was his life and his wants. Everyone else could go to Colossus and rot.
Leaning back in his chair, DeCosta sipped his cafe au lait. Well, if that's what you're after, the person you really want to talk to is Bet, as she'd have the most...
He trailed off as Apollo gave him a harsh stare and he realized the total stupidity of what he was suggesting.
Ah, DeCosta said with a snide smile. Guess you can't go there, can you?
Not after Apollo had screwed Bethany over in not one but two separate lifetimes. The Atlantean goddess of wrath and warfare wouldn't take kindly to Apollo going to her for anything other than a full disembowelment, followed with a thorough denutting. And the sun itself would freeze over before she'd ever help the bastard who'd killed her beloved husband and cursed her to lose her son, Orion.
She wouldn't have been there when Apollomy set up the Atlantean pantheon anyway. She hadn't been reborn yet, right?
Again, courtesy of Apollo's first brutal betrayal against her and her husband, DeCostas set his coffee cup down and reached for another beignet.
Correct.
Crossing his arms over his chest, Apollo stroked his chin as he thought about something.
So, how did Archon convince the frigid bitch of all time to marry him and establish a pantheon with him as its king so that he could play ruler?
DeCostas snorted at his assumption.
Apollomy isn't frigid. Therein is the problem. Her passions run deep and dark. She's ruthless and bloodthirsty, but that doesn't make her cold. She's as fiery as a volcano, and even quicker to erupt, and far deadlier when she peaks.
You still haven't answered my question. Why him? Why then? DeCostas shrugged.
Simple. Someone gave Archon the intel that Apollomy was awaiting the return of her precious Kasseri, and she mistook the dull god as her Sephiroth come back to be with her.
The spy fed Archon enough information that he was able to dupe her into thinking that he was her betrayed lover reborn as a god. That was why she agreed to set him up as her king and allowed him to rule over her, at least for a time.
Are you sure he wasn't?
Yeah, very much so. Kasseri loved Apollomy. He gave his life for her and for their son. There was nothing altruistic about Archon. He was much like you. Apollo's eyes narrowed, but he chose to ignore the dig.
Who is he working with?
No one knows. Archon refused to betray his informant. He was too grateful to be king of his own pantheon to ever give over the name of someone Apollomy would have surely gutted. Apollo considered that for a few minutes.
Was Kasseri ever reborn?
Again, no one knows, but I'd say he must have been.
Why?
Because someone fathered Acheron. Knowing Apollomy as I do and how she is, I would lay my money and life that Kasseri was the father of both her sons. You find out who Acheron's real father is, and you will find out who Apollomy really loves.
Do you think he's still alive?
DeCostas cradled his coffee mug as he considered it.
That would be the question of the day, wouldn't it?
Orion growled as he cowed the dragon bastard in front of him. He'd had it with the scaly beasts. Zin appeared between them.
Problem?
The dragon raked a look over him that said he'd like to have a little Daemon barbecue.
No,
Orion scoffed. Keep walking, Barney. Clubhouse is on your right.
Zin screwed her face up at his words. Barney?
big purple bastard. Drives you insane with asinine bullshit, just like your friend here. He jerked his chin toward the lumbering dragon who'd left them. Brushing her hand through his hair, she kissed his cheek. I have so missed you. Orion closed his eyes and savored her warmth.
Come things away, more pure Morphe.
She smiled.
You make my life more beautiful, too.
And that was one of the things he adored most about her. She actually spoke his language. Rubbing his stomach in a way that set him on fire, she stood way too close for his comfort.
Have you heard from Shadow yet?
He shook his head. He'll let us know as soon as he finds more housing. That had been their first quest upon leaving the bedroom, find new homes for their friends here, as they both knew Falcon wouldn't be keen on sharing whenever he returned. Speaking of, they heard a sudden loud bellow as her brother and Medea returned.
Fun times,
Zin said with an overly exaggerated smile. Let's go torment the big guy, shall we? Laughing, he followed her. True to her words, she met Falcon with a charming grin and grace that only she could pull off. Like the new decorations? Wall-to-wall dragon? The grimace on her brother's face said that he didn't appreciate her attempt at humor at all.
Ah, hate you so much.
Zin took his irritability in stride.
Ah, you're not fooling anyone. I know you missed me.
Falcon made a disgruntled face at her.
Like a bleeding hemorrhoid.
Orion crossed his arms over his chest. While he didn't appreciate the tone, he'd stand down, only out of respect for the fact that he understood sibling banter. There was no malice back in those words. Had anyone else said something like that to Zin, he'd have handed them their throat. And if Falcon had hurt her feelings, they'd be having blows. Yet as long as she continued to laugh, he'd behave. Falcon grimaced.
So, what do you plan to do with all of these beasts, Zin?
I'm not planning to let them move in, you know. Definitely not comfortable with them here. Zin smiled adoringly.
Why not? It's rather cozy, don't you think?
That pink one really goes well with the decor, and it'd keep you from being lonely. She batted her eyelashes playfully. It was all Orion could do, not to double over with laughter. Falcon let out a sound of supreme disgust.
You know why. And don't start on me. As the old saying goes, doors on the wall.
She snorted like a horse. Oh, relax, you old mangy beast. They're not planning to stay anyway. We're just messing with you. His relief was tangible. Zin met Medea's gaze and shook her head.
How do you put up with him?
I think he's hilarious. She popped Falcon on the stomach.
This one's a keeper, brother. You better not let her go.
Orion had just gone over to help one of the dragons who was having problems with his wings when a light dimmed near them. The dragon tensed.
Easy. It's just Shadow returning.
He'd know that power surge anywhere. Sure enough, Shadow popped in across the room near Zin. Inclining his head to Falcon, he approached Zin and Shadow.
Any luck?
Shadow nodded. Yeah, I have a few more willing to shelter dragons. Falcon let out an audible sigh.
Shadow, you're my man.
Shadow let out a nervous laugh.
Since when?
Since I saved your ass. How are you feeling?
Like I had the hell beat out of me.
And you're welcome. Crossing his arms over his chest, Falcon's expression said those words chafed him, yet the gleam in his eyes betrayed his amusement.
How has Varian failed to gut you in all these centuries?
Not from lack of effort on his part, I assure you. I'm just quicker than he is.
Falcon shook his head.
Anyway, I'm glad to see you back on your feet.
Glad to be back on my feet,
especially without Varian hovering over me like some great hairy mother.
And I heard you made friends with the little brother Lombre.
Yeah, you can keep him.
So everyone keeps telling me. He's actually not so bad. Get him liquored up and laid, you can get about 5 or 10 minutes of peace before he's in your face again.
Falcon made a face of distaste.
So that's your secret.
Basically, I find it works on most people.
Falcon laughed.
And why is it that I think there's a little more to it than you're letting on?
Again, he's not so bad. You just have to understand where he's coming from. We're all creatures of the hell that birthed us, are we not?
True.
Falcon stepped back as one of the dragons approached them.
Are the sanctuaries ready?
He asked Shadow.
Shadow nodded. They're being prepared. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
He placed a kiss on Zin's cheek, and Falcon then turned toward Shadow.
Can I beg a favor?
Shoot you in the head? Sure.
Falcon rolled his eyes and ignored that comment.
Can you get me back in, near my son?
Shadow made a truly spectacular sound of scoffing disbelief.
And what level of special stupidity have you achieved, Dragon? I know you took a significant hit to the head, but didn't realize it had given you brain damage. Should we get you a CAT scan? Dog scan?
Ha-ha, and I'm serious.
Yeah, so am I. I actually like having my bollocks attached to my body. While I don't get to use them as much as I'd like, I still prefer the comfy feeling of having them there over the alternative of seeing them in a jar on my desk.
Then you'll help me, or I know what to attack.
A tick started in Shadow's jaw.
Really hate you, Dragon.
Fine.
But if you're caught, I don't know you. Never saw you, and I've no idea how you got there. And I'm sending Lombre to rescue or kill you, whichever, his choice.
How have you managed to live so long without anyone killing you again?
Told you, I'm fast on my feet.
Shadow sighed.
So when do you want to partake of your suicide?
Falcon glanced around his crowded home.
Now would be a good time. It'll keep me from freaking out over my OCD.
Zin scowled.
OCD?
Overpopulated communal den,
he pointed to the group.
Get rid of that while I'm gone.
She rolled her eyes at her brother.
Ugh, you big baby. You never did learn to share.
Oh, that's not true. I learned to share pain and misery early on.
No, no. You learned to deliver pain and misery. Big difference. Being a carrier and deliverer isn't the same as sharing, Magias. Do not confuse those terms.
You're determined to annoy me, aren't you?
Zin smiled.
Always. Aren't you glad now that you woke me?
Thinking I should have overlooked your statue,
Falcon growled in the back of his throat.
Blaze, why did we wake Zin again?
You missed her,
he called out across the room.
I lied.
Zin pushed him toward Shadow.
Go on and take him before he has a nervous breakdown, or I kill him.
Medea laughed. Come on, dragonfly. Orion went over to Zin as they headed off.
Should I have gone? Nah, they'll be fine. Besides, I like having you here.
He liked being with her. For too long, he'd been alone.
Zin watched as Orion went to help the younger ones, and her heart broke for him. She had so much guilt over what she'd done. By helping her brothers, she'd abandoned him. She hated the years that had been stolen from them. Damn Apollo for this. Somehow, she was going to make it up to Orion and pay Apollo with interest. Apollo froze as he saw Morgan approaching his throne. Her hair was singed, her dress torn and filthy.
You look a little worse for the wear, love.
She actually shot a blast at him.
You bastard!
He arched a brow at her.
Temper, temper. Be careful with that, lest I take offense.
Take all you want! What happened to the Dragonstone you promised me?
Patience, the game isn't over. Just a slight reset on the board.
She frowned.
What do you mean?
He let out a long, weary sigh.
I forget that you're not a god.
Playing with people's lives isn't something you've much experience with.
Sometimes you have to let things run their course. Meaning?
She repeated.
Meaning the good guys had all the dragons, now they don't. And Orion holds the blood of Apollyme, Bet, Set, and Asheron.
Morgan sucked her breath in as she finally understood.
He's the key to bringing them all down.
Isn't he, though? And you know what we've just discovered?
A slow smile curved her lips.
The source of his undoing.
Apollo nodded slowly. With Phoebe under his control, he didn't need to find Asheron's father. He had something even better at his disposal. Asheron's comeuppance. Because that was the beauty of being a god of prophecy. He knew the future. The final fate of the world, of all humanity, wasn't really in the hands of Asheron or even Apollyme. It was in the bloodline of Orion's family. And now? It was in his.